than your aptitude that will determine your altitude. And that's so important no matter what degrees we hold and the people we recruit, what experience they have. It's whether they can work with people or not.
Welcome to another episode of Talks with T. I'm super excited today to have Kamil Najjar with us, the founder and CEO of Kids First Group, which is the leading early education platform, initially in the UAE and now across the region. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Tariq. Thanks for having me.
When we were, I had the pleasure of having lunch with you, and we were just talking about your experience. And one of the notes I wrote from early on was, started in the beauty space, and now you're in the childhood development space. I would love for you to at least start telling us about your early childhood, your early career, your early years of life.
I'll take you through the journey,
please,
and the learnings, you know,
100%
during this journey, starting with, you know, I graduated from AUB, American University of Beirut, and I started my career in advertising with Impact BBDO in Saudi Arabia in 87. And from there, I moved with BBDO to Dubai and then to Kuwait. And then in Kuwait, I had a client called Silvicrene Shampoo, which was Beecham, that was acquired by Wella, the German hair care company. And the client liked me after a year or two, and they invited me to join them in Germany as sales and marketing, to be based in Germany at the head office. At the time, I had, you know, my daughter Mary. She was probably 2 years old, 3 years old. And it was exciting because, you know, as an agency man, you like to go on the client side, work in Europe with an international company. So, you know, encouraged by my, you know, wife at the time, I went for it and I stayed in Germany for 3 years. And this is where I learned German. And from there, I convinced the Germans to open a regional office in Dubai with a great track record that I had established at the time. And I became regional director for Middle East and Africa.
Yeah.
And I opened the first regional office for Wella in Dubai and Emirates Towers back in 2000.
Mm.
And in 2003, Procter & Gamble acquired Wella globally. And all I asked for from my colleagues in Germany and from the board is the chance to stand up in front of Procter and present Wella Middle East.
Mm.
We had the highest market share in hair colorants globally. In the Middle East. And, you know, we had the chance and presented to Procter, and they said this is a jewel operation.
Mm.
And the whole challenge was to keep the team that I had and not lose anybody to the big company, Procter. Obviously,
yeah,
when they integrate, you know, there's a big chance that you lose people because, you know, a company like Procter, they have all the functions well established. So, we didn't lose a single person from the team.
Amazing.
We integrated with P&G, and I stayed with P&G for 4 years on beauty, so colorants and shampoos and others. And in 2008, April, I was headhunted from Procter by the famous finance guy, Mike Milken, the junk bond guy. He's known as the junk bond guy. To be the president for Middle East and Africa. And at the time, you know, I said, what do I have to do with education? And they said they want an entrepreneur with a global corporate background. I went through the process and I was selected to be the president. So I read about education. I got fascinated. Globally, outside the US, the head office was in Singapore. So I was traveling frequently to Singapore. And there I saw state-of-the-art early childhood education centers that the company had. And this is where I found out the importance of early childhood education in the life of a human being, where the character of a human being is established in the first 6 years of our lives. And that was very fascinating for me because as an educated person, university graduate, when I sent my daughters at the time to the nursery, simply because we were both working parents, we had no clue about Montessori and early childhood, you know, Tare sends, yeah. Tony sends, and you know, so we send our kids to this nursery in Kuwait at the time. So I thought to myself, you know, how many parents are not aware of this? How many probably authority government officials are not aware of this fact? So I remained very passionate about it. The economic crisis has hit in September 2008, yeah. By January, I lost my job. So the learning here, if I may,
yeah.
is when I got this offer through one of the top headhunting firms, the offer was quite substantial, quite attractive with stock options and very good salary. But in the contract, there was 3-month notice. So if anyone wants to terminate, and it was a president position. So I was the president for Middle East and Africa. And I said to the headhunter, based on my lawyer, they said, you know, at least because it's a startup and because it's a president position and because you are being taken from, you know, the top FMCG company, Procter, you should have 12-month notice period.
Mm.
Obviously, the headhunter said, look, you have a fantastic package. Come on, you know, just take it. So I took it. And I paid the price because when I was terminated, it was in the middle of the economic crisis. No one knew what was going on, whether you get a job or you don't get a job. Luckily, because of my reputation, my equity in the market, I got a job with Ülker, the Turkish firm, just for a short period of time of 3 months. Then I was picked up by Fortune Promo 7. The agency, to be the CEO for the region, starting with UAE. At the time, I negotiated a 7-month notice period, pardon, 6-month notice period, pardon. And so I joined, and in a year and a half, things didn't work out. However, they were fair, because on certain topics, you know, it was not that fair. So when I resigned and we agreed to go separate ways, I got paid 7 months, my salary.
Yeah.
In those 7 months, I decided to follow my passion, which is early childhood education, try to start something from scratch, make a difference in quality and quantity. And if it doesn't work in 7 months, because I'm paid 7 months, you know, I have two daughters, Mary and Taj, and I can't afford, you know, not to. So if I doesn't succeed, then I would go and look for a job again. And that was the start of Kids First Group.
Yeah.
Currently, Kids First Group employs 1,100 employees. We have 5,000 children, 32 nurseries between Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Doha. Under the brands Redwood, Odyssey, and Willow.
Amazing.
So I always say everything happens for a reason. You know, I was headhunted from beauty to education, and who would have said that I would continue in education? And if it was not for the 3-month mistake, 6-month correction, you know, and negotiating, probably I would not have been able to start this company.
Yeah. Yeah, no, amazing story. And one thing that really sticks out to me as I hear it is your willingness to jump into a field where you have little to no experience and take on a challenge like that. It doesn't seem like it daunts you or it's intimidating, or if it is, at least you still take the plunge anyways. So I'd love to ask you, where do you think that comes from?
In hindsight, when I look back, you know, it was purely driven by my passion and encouraged by my partners at the time, Cedar Bridge, you know, and close friend of mine, Imad Ghandour, and then the other partner. I always say to people, especially now, that, you know, we're not a NASA company.
Yeah.
we you know, unless we are in NASA, I would recruit maybe engineers. And business is common sense. So going from beauty to education might sound difficult. However, the basics of business and marketing and parents, consumers, shoppers, is pretty much, I would say, similar. If you know how to deal with it, if you know how to understand it and build on that, you know, understanding. The most important is, you know, I followed my passion. And my passion was to make a difference in early childhood education with state-of-the-art centers, giving the best for the child. And since inception, Kids First Group until now is built with one reason only, and that is to give the best for the KFG child. You ask, why do we exist, whether myself or my colleagues or my shareholders? We exist for one reason only, and that's the child. And that's what drove us, and that's what still drives us. We've sustained economic crisis, oil prices, COVID, etc., simply because we stayed true to our purpose, which is the child.
Yeah. You know, I think I mentioned that Imad had been on the podcast before, and one of the things he really told me that sticks out from his relationship or the things he's learned from you is about your management and leadership style.
Look, all I can say is I'm somebody first who believes in having the right attitude. And there's this saying that goes, you know, it's your attitude more than your aptitude that will determine your altitude. And that's so important no matter what degrees we hold and the people we recruit, what experience they have. It's whether they can work with people or not, you know. Number two is I always like to think in different ways. And that's why if you look at what we have done with Wella and what we have done now with Kids First Group, it's really driven by innovation, doing things that were not done before in the segment. It's not doing things that were done before in the segment differently. No, it's doing different things in the segment. And Kids First Group runs three innovation conferences per year where we challenge, you know, all functions, not only the nurseries, but even the functions in the head office of HR and finance and procurement to think innovatively.
Yeah.
If you look at the successful companies in the world, they are the ones that are mostly innovative. Another key driver that helped me in going from good to great is the book Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Yeah.
There were a couple of very interesting learnings from the book. For me, the most important that applies to work and to personal life is face the brutal fact. So don't be in denial. Face the brutal fact. Otherwise, you will continue going in circles and you will never improve, whether as a human being, I repeat, or as a company.
Yeah.
And when you face the brutal facts, you will know what are the sticks that are slowing down your momentum. There are sticks everywhere.
Yeah.
The challenge is to be able to identify those sticks and, more importantly, to remove them.
Yeah.
So that momentum is fueled and it grows bigger and faster.
Yeah.
And that's that has been really a key driver in my companies. Facing the brutal facts, identifying the sticks, removing those sticks so the momentum continues to grow.
Yeah. You said that one of the key things you do is an innovation conference on a regular basis.
Not the conference. It's drive the innovation as a in the DNA of the company and everyone, even the teachers in the classroom.
Yeah. What's an example? I mean, typically when people think of innovation, they think of, you know, the technology space, right?
Yeah.
So what's an example of something you look back and you say, we innovated in the education space?
Give you a very simple example of we have Willow in Willow Marina. and we had major road work by RTA, you know, in front of the street of Willow.
Yeah.
So 100-meter stretch used to take parents anywhere between 20, 30 minutes to drop their child.
Mm.
And at some stage, we were on the verge of losing parents, you know, and we spoke to RTA, we tried all possible ways we couldn't. So with the innovation hat, the director decided to bring very nice chariots, that take six kids.
Yeah.
We shipped them from UK.
Yeah.
We branded them Willow. They have seat belts and music. So we put music. And the staff were picking up the children with these chariots from the parents at the beginning of the street and take them to the nursery.
Yeah.
And that became fun, actually.
It's a great branding moment as well.
Branding, great solution, very relevant, easy to implement, and, you know, focused on the child and the child's safety.
Yeah.
That's a simple, innovative solution, innovative idea.
Yeah.
Innovation doesn't have to be costly, doesn't have to be big, as long as it's different and as long as it's delivering on a need or an insight that no one else thought of.
Yeah. And how do you instill that in a company, right? Like this came from operations director. Yeah, it wasn't your idea. It came from someone within the team. So how do you drive, instill, make it part of the DNA, which is what you were saying earlier?
By continuously challenging people on how can we be different, on how can we deliver better, how can we improve, how can we always push the envelope, in a relevant way, but in an innovative way. Mm. It's not like the deja vu, the what was done before, but we do it nicer. Mm. No, it's more how can we do different things to give better for the child and consequently the parents and the staff. Again, you know, on March 8th is the Women's Day.
Yeah. You said something earlier where, whether it's media, beauty, or education, the idea of business, the common practices of business, if you understand businesses, this can all be replicated across the board. How would you succinctly or concisely say, what are the common threads across business?
When I was with Wella, driven again by our pure passion for hair colorants and to make it easy for women to choose the color that suits her, we came up with some innovative ideas that we implemented on the shelf in the supermarket. We even set up a camera where the woman can take a picture of her hair, change the hair color on the picture before she buys the product, because you know, from our research we found out that women are reluctant to use hair colorants because they don't know if it's going to suit them or not.
Interesting.
And the thick hair in the region here, they can only use permanent hair colorant. So using permanent hair colorant and it doesn't suit her is a problem. So we took this software that was developed by the hairdresser segment in Wella and implemented it in the supermarket.
Mm.
And we have changed the category in the way it was displayed on the shelf to make it easier for women to choose the hair colorant that suits them.
Yeah.
Because we found out from an Intercept study that women enter, they want to buy, to color, let's say, blonde, red, brown.
Yeah.
And they don't go by a shade number. When we were acquired by Procter, we learned that this is called FMOT.
Okay.
What is FMOT? Is first moment of truth.
Okay.
So, you know, in Procter, you have all these, you know, acronyms and acronyms. And, and then there is the SMOT, which is the second moment of truth, which is when you buy the product and you consume it. So the first moment of truth is when you are faced with the product. So you want to buy a phone, you research the phone, you go to the phone outlet, and then you see the phones displayed in a certain way. That's the first moment of truth.
Yeah.
And that's shopper marketing. And then second moment of truth is consumer marketing.
Yeah.
Then they developed the zero moment of truth and the third moment of truth.
Mm.
What is the zero moment of truth? Is when you look for, you go look for the product or the service that you want online or through friends. So if you implement this on the parent journey, even in education, parents search for nurseries. They talk to other parents. They go online. They search, you know, they read about the nurseries. They go on social media. This is all zero moment of truth.
Yeah.
When they like it, they contact and they go and visit.
Yeah.
That's the first moment of truth. As long as the first moment of truth delivers or exceeds what you promised in the zero moment of truth, parents will be impressed. Same shopper will be impressed. Consumers will be impressed.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do.
Mm.
Once you visit the nursery and you have been taken on a tour and explained all what you have seen and more, you register your child. So now you are in the second moment of truth. You're already experiencing the service of this nursery.
Yeah.
If the practical experience that you are having exceeds what you have been told, you know, in the first moment of truth when you visited and what you have read about,
yeah,
you go into the third moment of truth and you become an advocate.
Mm.
And that's the circle. So advocates will bring us more word of mouth, parent referrals, and reputation. So that journey, apply it to any category, you know, in a way it works.
Yeah. Amazing. There's something that you said that really stuck with me. You said your attitude over aptitude. And it sounds like in these scenarios, your attitude was, what is going to get me excited about getting up every day over and beyond the business side? So I think it's about perspective, which is amazing.
One of the things that Imad used to like and always said about me as a partner is that I'm a partner that is always willing to listen and to learn. I never say I know it all. I never impose my ideas. Until now with my team, I invite and I listen to other ideas and perspective. And I think what you've just said about, you know, finding the passion, believing in what you want to do and wanting to make a difference in it, that's a passion by itself.
Yeah, 100%.
I can't do that in finance, but, you know, I've always said I'm so weak in finance. When I came with Proctor, we had no something called cash flow and balance sheet.
Yeah.
You know, it's done by the finance and by the distributors. While now, having my own company, it's all about cash flow and balance sheet.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you master it. If you are willing to learn, if you are, you know, if you have a clear end in mind, I would say, you know, you have a clear goal that you just want to focus and deliver on that goal, and that's the best for the child. Even the finance is driven by making enough money to invest in CapEx, in your nurseries, in your resources, in your people, to give the best for the child. Consequently, you will make money. And that's a model that worked and will always work, driven by our purpose, the child, allowed us to be successful. So
you said attitude over aptitude basically leads to your altitude. You know, that's something maybe I should tattoo because I really liked it. But how do you interview or find people or filter out people who don't fall into this?
It's, I have to say, from experience, it's difficult because people can fool you.
100%.
First, second, third interview. You have other people interview them. And still, when they come to work with you, they're different than what you have expected.
Yeah.
There are those that, you know, preach and, you know, sell themselves so well, and then, you know, in reality, they don't deliver.
Mm.
And you have all kinds of people. You have the people who, when they are under pressure, they become aggressive, which, you know, you don't see. There are many ways of, you know, many tools in HR to try and interview. One thing I've done now is that, especially at senior level, I say I go into engagement before marriage.
Mm.
So we do an engagement for a part-time job.
Okay.
So they work part-time for 3 days, 4 days. So it's not a marriage.
Yeah.
We didn't sign an employment contract.
Yeah.
In a month or so, we decide whether we go for a marriage or not.
Yeah.
That has worked perfectly well.
And how do you execute something like that where someone has a full-time role already? You know, does it immediately eliminate people who are currently in a job from being able to...
They have to be willing.
Yeah.
For the sake of both
correct.
Parties. Huh?
Yeah,
it's not only for our sake.
Yeah, for sure.
It worked in couple of times. Yes, it's challenging if somebody has a full-time job to leave for a part-time. The other option is to bring them on a part-time basis while they are on a full-time job, and see if they fit the culture. At the end of the day, what makes us proud in KFG is the culture that we have built, and over the last 6 years, we've been promoting from within. So you have teachers that became head teachers, became deputy managers, directors, and even area directors. And they were all promoted from within. So now we create a pipeline. So now we focus on the talent, on the stars. We coach them, we develop them in order to be able to take the next position. So what's left, if you want to headhunt, are only the senior level that are not many in our case as such.
Yeah, the hiring piece is always challenging. Like you said, filtering through, getting... Some people are just very good at talking the talk, but when it comes time to walking the walk, that's really where you see the difference. Selfishly, I'm gonna talk a little bit about children. Inshallah, hopefully one day I'll have children of my own.
I hope so, definitely.
Now, having done this for the past, I guess, more than 10 years, what have you... You said 0 to 6 are the most critical years in a child's development. Your children were obviously much older by the time you started this, but if you could go back in time and give advice to yourself as a parent in terms of the things you now know today, what would be some of those things you would tell yourself?
Every parent
need
to educate themselves much more than what parents know now.
Okay.
95% of the brain of the child is complete by the age of 5. That's the Harvard facts. And sometimes, and many times, we judge a child's behavior with our mood, with our values, but we don't see where the child is coming from. The child is much more capable than we think they are. This is why you have an example of Reggio Emilia approach, where it's driven by what the child wants. So there are no teachers. You don't teach a child before the age of 6. You facilitate, you direct the child, you provide the child with what they want. And many of us parents, and I see it until now, and even educators and schools cannot really differentiate between if a child has ADHD or any other need, let's call it this way, simply because of ignorance. And always early detection of whatever the child has, good or bad, is very important. And that's why now we created a new concept in Abu Dhabi that we will run everywhere else, which is an inclusive nursery center that has specialized people for special needs children. On our payroll, we don't outsource it.
Yeah.
So, but just to go back to your question, I just encourage parents to educate themselves as much as possible and to seek professional help and not to shy away from it at early stages and not to say, no, my child does not do this. No, my child is not like this. And we have many parents that deny facts. And that's why I said, face the brutal fact. Face the brutal fact early enough in your child's life so you can help the child.
Yeah.
And if you find out that he doesn't have anything wrong, fine, at least you've done what you have to do.
Yeah.
But don't start from the fact that, no, there's nothing wrong with my child. You know, it's your nursery or it's that teacher or it's that child that triggered it. I wish every parent would really, to start with, get involved with the children and not leave them to the nannies.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a distance between the parents and the children, particularly in this part of the world. And the fact that we all have to work, father and mother, as expats, puts further distance between the parent and the child. And it's so important to find a way to get closer to the child and to read between the lines, you know, when a child reacts in a certain way to a certain trigger, you know, that it means something. And not to just, you know, ignore it.
Yeah. I heard you say a couple of things today in the conversation. The first is the basics of business are the same regardless of the industry. I brought it up a few times, you know, attitude over aptitude defines your altitude. I like this idea of facing the brutal fact, whether it's in, sometimes it's, most of the times it's actually harder in personal life than business life, but in both. I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about this 0 to 4 moment of truth. It really stuck with me, and this idea of finding your passion or purpose regardless of what you're doing is a very powerful message. It's been a pleasure spending time with you today.
We've
met outside of a podcast studio, but just going in a bit deeper, I learned a lot from talking to you today.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for having me. And I hope, you know, I was able to give some helpful messages to either young, passionate executives or to parents with, you know, with children or children to come,
yeah,
like yourself.
Akid. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dad. خلصنا.
شفت قلت لك بتطير الساعة صارت ساعة خمسة. Yeah.
ما بعرف إذا قلت لك اللي لازم أقول لك إيه.
No, I told you there's no.